Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'll be reading from verses 7 to 14. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. My name is Jackson, one of the pastors of the church. Welcome all of you to Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. And today we continue in our series of the book of Ephesians. Are you ready? All right. I just want to begin with sharing with you a story. Let me see. The slides up there. All right. Okay. So recently I met with a lady, and this lady was from China. Right, so I had a chat with her, and then she says that some years ago she came to Singapore, and she came with her husband so that she can seek some good education for her children. But as they come here, the place was totally strange for them. They don't speak good English, and it was quite a difficult time for them. Soon the husband lost the job due to COVID, and it was a very, very difficult and trying time for them. And the lady and husband came to know the Lord Jesus, and they began to pray and ask God for intervention and ask God to help them along in their lives. And in the end, the husband managed to find another job, although the job, however, is not in Singapore. This job was to be in Japan. So the family was torn that because the two children were still studying here in Singapore, how could they all uproot and go together? So it was a very difficult situation, and they continued to pray to the Lord. And God told them that don't worry, their lives are in his hands and he will take care of them. And so the husband went alone to Japan, while the wife remained here in Singapore taking care of the two kids. And you know that lady, when she shared this story with me, her eyes were filled with tears. Tears not because of sadness, but tears filled with joy and appreciation and thankfulness before God. And in many of her words, she just keeps saying how thankful she is before God and for God's grace upon her life. Now, I'm sure many of us will have heard similar stories like that, right? Perhaps you yourselves in your life have also encountered such grace moments from the Lord. But how do you truly attribute all these happenings in your life to God's grace? Or would you in the end just attribute to human effort? Perhaps some of us will start to think that, maybe God isn't here. No, he's just very lucky, found a job in Japan. Too bad, they cannot be, family cannot be together, so they have to be separated, too bad for them. Yeah, they're hanging on, but that's it. Or do you see the way that this lady herself saw it? Because as she prayed, she saw how God continued to open doors for her and her family to continue to sustain the family with providence and with a lot of mercies and grace. How would you respond to such stories in your life? Would you attribute it truly to God's grace in your life? Or is it just another human effort? What do you think? You know, much of times in our lives, there are many instances and moments that God's grace was there. It transpired in our lives, but somehow we may have missed them, thinking that they are just things that we can take for granted. The sun rises every day. The sun resets every day. You know, there's no miracles in life, and life goes on as usual. But are we sure? Sometimes we are just looking only with our own human eyes and fail to use our spiritual ones. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says that God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Heavenly places means spiritual matters, okay? Spiritual matters are happening in our life. And this becomes a theme of the book of Ephesians. If you continue to read through the six chapters of the book of Ephesians, you will see that this word comes out a lot of times, heavenly places and spiritual, because as Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this book of Ephesians, he knew that it's more than just what we see with our naked eyes. There is a spiritual realm that surrounds us, and we have to be in tune and be sensitive to that. So today's sermon, I hope that we will be able to recognize these spiritual matters of grace that's happening in our daily lives through Jesus and in the Holy Spirit. Come, let us pray together even as we begin. Lord God, we just want to pray, Lord, that you bless this time we have together, and ask, oh Lord, that your Holy Spirit will lead me and guide me even as I speak, that it's more of you and less of me, and your name be praised and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My first point is a God who lavishes his grace. In verse 7, it says that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. So I go in a little bit to verse 8 as well. Now, it's written here that there's this redemption through Jesus' blood. And this redemption means, Jesus' blood means he was hanging on the cross. When he died on the cross, his blood that shed was not in vain. I think all good Christians will know about that. And his blood becomes an extension to redeem us for the forgiveness of our sins. So the sins that is plaguing us in our lives, the wrongdoings, the things that we find are not right before God, those are redeemed through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. And this is done not by any works of our own. It is truly and solely according to the riches of God's grace. Now, we all understand grace, right? But this grace is not just a simple grace that's given to you and me. This is a grace which the verse 8 part that I put in here has the word lavish. It was lavished upon us. It's not just a grace that is given to us. It's a grace that is lavished upon us. And do you know what lavish it means? Lavish means it's given abundantly. Is given bountifully, is given plentifully, is extravagant, is excessive, is unrestrained, is over the top, is wasteful. That God's grace is not just given to you as you need. It's given to you so much more over the top that it seems wasteful, so that we can freely receive the fullness of grace that God has given to us in our lives. Isn't that a wonderful news? Because as we just earlier explained to the kids, grace is what that we receive even when we do not deserve of it. Even when we are deserving to be punished. Even when we are deserving to die. But yet, God has extended his grace upon our lives. You know, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and there was once that my 7-year-old daughter asked me, "Daddy, Daddy, you say you love me. How much do you love me?" And I tell her this. I said, "Well, Gwen, I will always love you. And Daddy's love for you will be unending." And she said, "Even though when I'm naughty?" I said, "Yeah, when you're naughty, I will get angry for sure. And you will get punished for the wrong things you do. But Daddy will never stop loving you." And she has done nothing to receive this. What has she done in her life, in her short 7 years of life? Has she given me a lot of money? Has she given me a lot of blessings that he given me food, bring food to the table? Has she done a lot of things like cleaning the house and making sure that the house is all neat and tidy? No, she has not done any of this. She does not deserve it. But yet, I love her, and my love for her will be full and will be even more wasteful, extravagant, abundant. And that is the same way as we look at it from this love kind of a relationship of perspective, can't we? As we look about how you, maybe the young people, as you fall in love with somebody, and then you want to just love this girl, for the boys, you love this girl, or the girls, you love this boy, and you go all out to want to love them. Now, if we can understand this kind of a love and grace, can we understand that this is the exact same perspective that the Heavenly Father looks on us? The same lavishing grace of love that God gives to us, even when we do not deserve it, even when we have done nothing to receive of it. God doesn't just award grace. God doesn't just grant grace. God doesn't just give grace, but God lavishes grace upon us. And the verse continues that in all wisdom and insight, and is making known to us the mystery of his will according to God's purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Now, this mystery that's being mentioned about God's will and purpose. Now, but yet at the same time, it's balanced that this mystery is also balanced with wisdom and insight and understanding. So there's something mysterious about God's way, like, why, God, why do you love me? Why do you extend such grace of love to me? I don't understand. There's this sense of mystery. But yet at the same time, we can have the wisdom and insight to know and understand that God truly just loves me. That's all I need. His grace is sufficient for me. You know, in the same way, it's like, I'm trying to put it into our human terms, it's like there are many things that scientists, brilliant scientists, after all these centuries, still do not understand, okay? And things that you do not understand doesn't mean they are not real, okay? For example, do you know that scientists do not know why we really cry? We know why we cry, as in what triggers off our crying, right? If we cry, we are hurt or there's emotions. But scientists are unable to tell the chemical responses of what is happening within our bodies and our emotions and our thoughts that trigger off crying. And scientists, after all this time, brilliant scientists, do not even know how to cure hiccups. You know, we say drink lots of water, you know, we hold our breath, or someone comes and frightens you, right? But scientists cannot really tell why or how to cure hiccups. Scientists do not even really know how or why we itch. You know, like maybe a bug comes and bites me. Ooh, itchy, right? Itch is to tell me that there's something wrong with my skin, right? So what do? Scratch it. But the more you scratch, the worse it becomes. And that baffles scientists. If that itch is to warn me, to tell me there's something wrong, why does it invite me to worsen it? You know, there are things like this, like similar, simple things about life or even the universe, like how animals migrate patterns and migratory patterns that scientists have no answers to. But even though there are no answers to these things, even though there's a sense of mystery and we do not understand, but yet we can accept them, right? I itch, I scratch law, right? You know? So if I want to cure hiccups, I try to drink water, try to hold my breath, try to wait it out, right? We do not understand, but yet it is real. And so in the same way, according to God's will, there may be some mysteries, but they are still true. It doesn't make any of God's promises less true than they were. Now, God works in spiritual ways, which are mysterious to our human knowledge and understanding. Yet, by his grace, he will give wisdom and insight to his will in Christ. We may not fully understand God's ways, but we can trust that he has given us sufficient knowledge and understanding to know his will for us and how we are to live our lives. We need only to trust, to believe, and to have faith. The passage continues in verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Now it says here that there is a plan. And this is not just a simple plan for tomorrow. It's a plan for the fullness of time, to the end of the days and end of ages. It is a master plan. And what is this master plan of God? This will of God that we're trying to understand, it is to unite all creation to God. You know, the Lord Jesus, it was recorded in the book of John chapter 17, he was praying during his last days. During his last days, you know, I mean, if you know that your life is going to end tomorrow, today will you still be telling lies? I mean, what your prayers, I'm sure, is the most earnest and the most sincerest kind of prayers ever made. And Jesus, at the end of his life there, as recorded in John chapter 17, he prayed this prayer, and it was recorded. And this prayer, you see, is not praying for his own well-being. What was Jesus praying? It's called the high priestly prayer. You can read for yourself in John chapter 17, but I'll just extract a little bit for you in verses 21 to 23. It says this, that Jesus prayed for his disciples and followers. He said that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So Jesus and the Father are one. And he prayed that we will all be one. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. What was Jesus praying for? Jesus was praying for unity. He was praying that his followers will be united as one, perfectly. And that is that master plan, isn't it? That the master plan of the grace extendedly given to us and lavished upon us is to draw us and unite our creation to Christ. That's what this master plan is all about. Just last night, the young adults met for a gathering, our first gathering of the year, and we presented the names of some of the new cell groups, and one of the cell groups' name was Haze, right? Haze, which is a Greek word for one, and he's coincidentally, it was based in this, and I think it's a wonderful and beautiful name, because it reminds us that we are to be one, united in Christ. So without Christ, we will not be united to God. Without what Jesus has done upon the cross and the redemption through his blood, we will not be with God. But this God, he lavished his grace so as to unite us back to himself. It is mysterious, it is spiritual, but yet simply for us to understand. I move on to my second point, a God who guarantees his inheritance. It's written in verse 11 that in him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And I try to unpack this a little bit, right? Now, this inheritance was given to us. But this inheritance isn't ours in the first place. You know, it's like maybe a rich man died, and then he leave behind a will, right? And then the lawyer called the family, all come, and they was all sitting there and waiting to see what they will receive. But whatever they receive, do those belong to them? No. It belongs to the rich man. It was the rich man who freely gave all of his inheritance to his descendants. He can choose not to. He can give it all to charity. He can just simply destroy them. He can choose to bury it with him when he died. But he did not. He chose to give to his people. And in the act of giving, these things, this inheritance truly belongs to him. In the same way, whatever that we receive from God really comes from God and belongs to God. It is God's inheritance that is freely given to us. What do we deserve to receive? Nothing. I've made it clear earlier that we are sinners, and in sins, and we were condemned to die. We were condemned to death. You know, I go back to the woman from China, the woman from China I spoke to, and she talked to me. She says that she struggled when she tried to become a Christian in the past, because she says that she attended this church, and the church tells her saying that you are a sinner. And she thought to herself, she says that I'm not a bad person. I don't commit any crime. I don't 杀人犯火, you know. I don't kill, I don't murder, I don't set fire to people's houses. Why would I be a sinner? But she realized then that it was not talking about a legal criminal offense. But when we talk about sin, we're talking about a moral condition of our souls. All the naughty things we did, God would still be angry, as I told my daughter, and we would still be punished, and we were supposed to be condemned. But Jesus saved us. And Jesus coming to save us is God's decision. It is His will, His predestination to rescue us. I mean, over here, I'm sure many are Christians, right? Right? All the Christians, raise your hands, okay? So I can see. Yeah, you see everyone, most of you are Christians, right? Okay, very good. Now, Christians, good Christians, when you tell your story of how you become a Christian, would you share saying that I was the one who found God? Would you say that? I was the one who found God. I went looking. I know that's God. He's over there in that church. I'm going to find Him. And I found God. None of us will say it this way. But as we receive Jesus into our lives and as we become Christians, we will always tell people, say, God found me. Isn't it? God found me. And brothers and sisters, that's predestination. Because God has found each and every one of us. It's not about us looking for God. But somehow, in our life, God has been working through the Holy Spirit, and His predestination has been working in our lives more than we know or even admit. When we were undeserving to see God's glory, He came to save us. And the Holy Spirit's tugging of our hearts that we irresistibly respond with, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Yes, Jesus, I want to be a Christian. Yes, Jesus, I want to accept you into my life. Predestination has already occurred. God has chosen you in your life. For what? Why did God choose us? And verse 12 says here, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. That we should rightfully be punished, actually, but now we can hope to see that wonderful glory in Jesus Christ. And then is the promised inheritance, to be saved from punishment, to be saved from condemnation, to be restored to life in Christ, and to see His glory. Isn't that wonderful news? The passage continues that in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believe in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. That is the promised inheritance, to see God's glory. That is the promised inheritance, to be united in Christ through His lavish grace. That is the promised inheritance. The truth of God's words, the promises that's written in the Bible, the gospel or the good news that will save our lives from doom to life, then the unity in Christ by our response of our belief in Jesus. That is the inheritance that we can receive. That is the eternal life. Not that this life I will live forever, I will live to 100 years old, 200 years old, 500 years old, 1,000 years old. No, this body will die. And which is why we need to think spiritually. Because when this body grows old and this body becomes full of frailty and break down and I start to lose my eyesight and cannot see that well, you know, and cannot walk that well, and I'm always having problem in my knees as I climb the stairs, as I start to feel that I always fall sick easily, you know, I'm not able to run as well as I could before. When this body breaks down, it will one day be gone. But my spirit is sealed in Christ by this inheritance that He has lavished upon me by His grace. And that is the promise that we can have. That is the inheritance that we can have. And the Holy Spirit of God is that guarantor, the guarantee of this inheritance that we will have until we acquire possession. Huh? What is this? So I have, or until I acquire possession. So do I have it or do I not have it? Sounds weird, right? Now this inheritance of salvation, of life and unity in God and with God, is actually, in a sense, what he's saying here, sealed by the Holy Spirit, is, as Singaporeans would say, confirmed, sealed, chopped, guaranteed, right? We'll say that with chop, right? Yeah, it's basically sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And this sealed means it's confirmed, it's guaranteed, and it's sure and will bound to happen. We will surely, undoubtedly be saved, receive forgiveness of our sins, receive eternal life, and receive the unity with Christ in all His glories. But until we acquire possessions, actually means that even though right now, in our human life, in our earthly life, that we still have to go through rough patches in our human lives. There are difficult moments. There are trouble. There's a lot of struggles. There's frailty. There's sicknesses and disease. But we will one day acquire this possession, receive this heavenly, spiritual, eternal life in our spiritual lives after this physical one has ended. It is ours now already, but you can claim it later after this life ends. You know, to give an example, it's like nowadays, well, we are all excited to receive our CDC vouchers, right? I see at Block 633, the community center, wow, long queue. I think everywhere is long queue now, trying to claim our $300 CDC voucher. Now, these vouchers, when you claim them, it's just paper. Printed paper with no real value. It's just paper. I just give you a paper. Oh, I've got $300 and know what? It's just paper. But however, it has been confirmed, announced by the government. It is sealed, chopped, guaranteed that you can purchase things with these vouchers, these $300 vouchers, anytime before end of the year, of course, before end of 2023. Otherwise, the offer of these vouchers will be over, right? Now, in the same way, God has promised us the value of eternal, spiritual, heavenly lives in Him. We may not see it now with our mortal eyes and mortal bodies, but when we cash in these vouchers of promise in the Holy Spirit, that means when we complete our lives here on earth, we will receive the value of our inheritance in Christ and be united with Christ in the heavenly places. This is guaranteed. And anytime before the end of the offer, of course, which is either the end of our lives or the time when Jesus returns again to bring us home, we have to claim these vouchers, before you end your life, before Jesus returns again to bring us home. So in a way, it's well stocked last until Jesus returns. So now this is what it means by the until we acquire possession. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God with us right now, right here today. He reminds us of the promise of Christ, the grace of our Heavenly Father, our spiritual inheritance of this eternal life united in Christ. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will forget. We will not remember God and His goodness. We will not remember Jesus. We will not have God's presence with us today without the Holy Spirit. We will be lost. We will not know what to do. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not have the hope to receive God's inheritance. But now we are sealed this inheritance through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who guides us in the truth of God's promises, and our inheritance is therefore guaranteed by His presence. All the more reason we have to acknowledge and live our lives spiritually with the Holy Spirit. God is a God who guarantees his inheritance for us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. My final point, a people of grace. Now, without Christ, we will not be united to God. But as I say earlier and I summarize for us, God, my first point is God is a God who lavishes his grace so as to unite us to himself. It is spiritual, it is mysterious, but yet it's simply for us to understand. We can become a people united, no longer individuals. If a Christian ever say that I am an individual Christian, I live only for myself, then, my friend, we have gotten it all wrong. If we have think that, oh, I'm going to divide, no, I don't like you, so let's go form our own church and divide and form many churches just like that, then, my friend, we have gotten it wrong. We have to see ourselves united according to Jesus' highly priestly prayer, that there is a church with a capital C that unites us wherever that we go. Wherever that you go, like our brother Kwang Ri was sharing at Watch Night Service, he's go to the Philippines. He met Christians there. They were still brothers and sisters in Christ. We hear some of our young adult leaders who went to Thailand 2 months ago. When they were there, they met brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter where you come from, what culture or background. As we are in Christ, we are united as God's people of grace. And if that is so, we have to receive the grace of Christ. We have to look beyond ourselves and start to look out for others around us. Brothers and sisters, so many times we just sit among our own friends, people we are comfortable with, aren't we? Huh? Sometimes we go to the canteen, we will sit among our own cliques as well. Why not today, let us learn to talk to other fellow Christians, people that we have not tried to talk to before. Let us look out even for those who have yet to know Jesus. Look out for them, ask God for them, meet up and makan with them, spend time with them, and proclaim the truth of Christ to them. That's our lamps for Christ, right? Just as we have been lavishly received, let us also lavishly give to others. My second point in summary, God is a God who guarantees his inheritance for us through the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that we become a people of hope, not dejected, not defeated, not hopeless. But we can have hope in the Holy Spirit, hope of the inheritance of forgiveness, the inheritance of salvation, the inheritance of eternal life, the inheritance of unity in Christ, the inheritance of restoration in God's glory. Let us live in the Holy Spirit today. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit's presence in our life. Be sensitive when he speaks to us. Listen to him, speak to him, and walk to him. You know, recently I watched a movie called Fathers 2. It actually talks about, it's a real life story of this Roman Catholic priest. Instead of reverend, they call father, right? So Father Stuart Long, that is his name. The movie was played by Mark Wahlberg. He's an excellent actor. I really love him. But he's also a Christian, fervent Christian, and he wants to tell this story. And it's based on the real life character of that person sitting in the wheelchair at the bottom. That's the real Father Stuart Long. So in his story was this, Stuart Long, he wanted to go Hollywood to become a star, but he didn't make it. And then he fell in love with a girl, and the girl was a Christian and brought him to church. Go for the wrong reason. But somehow when he was there, he was baptized, and he got into a car accident. And in a car accident, he felt that he encountered God. God spoke to him. It was something that is spiritual that he could not really understand. But yet he responded to God and he felt God's calling to him that God wants him to serve him as a priest. So he told the girl that brought him to church, the girl that he fell in love with, he said, I'm sorry, I'm going to take the vow of celibacy. You know, for them Roman Catholic priests, they vow not to get married. And so he says, I'm going to be a priest. But yet at the same time, as he responded to God, he discovered when he was studying in Bible college that he had this disease. It's a muscle disorder that make him unable to walk. His muscle will slowly degenerate. Slowly he cannot walk, he cannot move, he cannot speak, he cannot move his facial muscles. So it becomes quite bad for him. And he cried out to God and he says, God, you asked me to serve you and here I am. But what is this? Where are you leading me? But Stuart Long was strong, and he knew that whatever God has given to him, it may be mysterious, but he hang on to the grace that was lavishly given to him, and he knew it was his inheritance to serve God no matter what. And so with his life, he completed his entire Bible training, and he continued to serve as a priest for 6 years before he finally passed away. You know, in one of his recorded dialogue, Stuart Long says this. He says that, "I don't see my disease as something that's negative, but I see that in my disease, I was able to depend upon God. It draws me closer to Jesus and it empowers me to serve him even more as I see him each and every day." Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know what you are going through in your life, but that grace that is lavishly given to you is still here today. Receive of this grace that God has given to you. And receive this inheritance that is sealed in the Holy Spirit, that we can receive life abundantly, eternally, that this body may end one day, just like Stuart Long, but our spirits, our souls, will live with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. Come, this is a lavish grace, a guaranteed inheritance we have in Christ. Let us pray together. I invite the musicians to come up to play some music in the background, even as we spend some quiet moments to reflect and think of what you have just heard from the sermon. I want to ask you a few questions. In which areas of your life do you seek redemption and forgiveness? Do you need God to redeem you? Do you need the forgiveness from God? In which areas of your life do you seek assurance of hope? Maybe there's something you're struggling with, and you desire God to fill your life and give you the inheritance that is promised and sealed by the Holy Spirit. If that is you, you desire redemption and forgiveness and hope to have Christ in your life, I invite you to just quickly raise your hands where you are so that I can pray for you. Perhaps you are not yet a Christian, and you look back in your life and you felt that maybe God has been knocking on your door all this time. He's calling out to you and you do not want to run away from him anymore. And right now you want to believe in Jesus. You want to accept him into your life and become a Christian. If that is you, then I invite you to raise your hands so that I can pray for you. If in your life you are seeking the assurance of hope that I said earlier, because you are struggling with something, some difficult moments in your life, perhaps your business isn't doing well, your career isn't that smooth, and you need the assurance of hope from God, and if that is you, I invite you to quickly raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Yes, sister, I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Come, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to give thanks to you, Lord, that you have lavished your grace upon us through Christ and unite us to yourself, that you have granted us the Holy Spirit as a seal and guarantee of our inheritance in you until we receive the hope of the promise. God, Lord, we ask, O Lord, that you continue to bless us and watch over us in all that we do. I pray for our sister who just raised her hand because she needs the assurance of hope of you in her life. I pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit will be there to calm her and bring her your peace that goes beyond all understanding. That truly, God, will point her to our Lord Jesus Christ and hang on to her, that she know, God, that she is never alone in all the difficult moments that she has to go through. Let her know, God, that your peace is with her, your assurance goes with her, and God, your presence is with her, that you desire to bless her and be with her because you love her so much and your grace is lavished upon her in her life. We pray, O Lord, that she will see you and know that she is not alone. Dear God, we thank you that the Holy Spirit is with her and with us. I want to finally pray for all of us as a church and pray, O God, that you unite us by in your church with our Lord Jesus Christ as the head and all of us as the body to serve you and bring glory to you because we are people of grace that has known you and continue to grow in the hope of your promises. May you continue to bless AMKPC as we journey along in our life of faith before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please rise as we sing the song of response. Let us give thanks to God by singing this song together. Sing, "Worthy is the Lamb." is the Lamb. See, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.